After 4 years and investments totaling over $150 million, two major holders of gas and oil leases in northeastern Pennsylvania are abandoning those leases in the Delaware River Basin. In letters dated July 1st, Newfield Appalachia advised leaseholders that the leases will not be continued into the development phase.
We're thrilled. We're absolutely thrilled.
Barbara Arundel is director of Damascus Citizens for Sustainability.
It's the result of an awful lot of incredibly hard work, an awful lot of people working on the term paper of the day, making comments and raising the awareness level and the education level all over the place, and helping public officials to understand what the implications are. A huge, huge amount of work gone into this. I call it a giant co-creative artwork, and it's got thousands of people involved in it. What's happened is the result of also business awareness of levels of physical properties of the wells. Like, for instance, the decline rate. Within 2 years, there's only 15% or less of the gas being produced from most of these wells. Some it's a tad more, but not much. So after a year or two, even of intensive drilling, the production from a gas field levels out and then starts to go down. The Barnett Shale is considered a mature gas field, even though they're drilling like crazy, because they can't increase production because of the collapse of the production rate. Additionally, they're losing money on every well, and they can't make it up in volume because the price of the gas is very low. When they started in this area, it was about $14 a unit, which now, I mean, it's gone down to about two. I think it's come up to about four now, but it's not going up any higher. Then additionally, the companies get tremendous subsidies. If they cash in now, what's considered an asset, these leases are assets under the SEC rules, and they cash them in, they get better value in terms of their tax deductions than holding on to them.
What role did the Delaware River Basin Commission play in the ultimate decision of Hess and Newfield to pull out of northeastern Pennsylvania?
Well, according to the companies themselves, that didn't really play into it. It's just a matter of the cost of the wells and the fact that they want to focus on oil instead of gas because it's better money for them. So they say it doesn't play into it at all. But I think it probably plays into it, yes. And we have to honor Governor Markell of Delaware. Governor Markell, in late November of 2011, at the point where there was slated to be a vote on passing the regulations to allow drilling in the Delaware River Basin, he spoke up first, saying that we should take essentially a precautionary approach, and at the point where these practices are deemed safe, absolutely safe, then he would consider it. But until then, it doesn't seem like the proper thing to do because he's in office to protect the health and welfare of his people, not some reckless business plan. And it was Governor Markell who had the political courage to say that the emperor has no clothes. And then New York followed up with saying, well, we can't really vote for drilling in the Delaware River Basin because our process of allowing drilling in New York State is not completed. So then it was two against two. New Jersey, even though it voted a ban against drilling and also a ban against wastewater transport and disposal in New Jersey by both houses of the New Jersey legislature, Christie had vetoed those. So New Jersey couldn't really vote for because it would be strictly a Christie decision and it would be shooting itself in the foot. And of course, Pennsylvania wants it, wants it, wants it. That left the federal component. So there's four states and a federal component of voting members of the Delaware River Basin. Of course, a non-voting member is New York City, which didn't want it. So the federal component couldn't vote for it either because if they're the swing vote, then it definitely makes voting for it a federal action, and then the whole thing is subject to the National Environmental Policy Act. and an EIS, environmental impact statement, would definitely have to happen. So they didn't want to vote either, so the vote was canceled. Yay!
For those areas where there has been serious environmental damage from fracking, can there be remediation? Can anything be done to clean it up, or is this really permanent damage?
Well, in the areas that are suffering from air damage, there are things that could be done. The companies could be forced to use existing equipment and techniques that would stop over 90% of the emissions, so that people would not be being poisoned, their children would not wake up with huge nosebleeds and throbbing headaches, and people would not have rashes all over their bodies from these chemicals in the air. Damage to water, if it's from surface spills, sometimes will slowly ameliorate itself. Other damage, which involves connections from the formation layer to the surface layer via faults and fractures, via transmission through the outer annulus, as it's called, that outer ring between the outermost cement layer of the gas well and the raw earth, those damages are not correctable. They're permanent.
So what do you think the pullout of Hess and Newfield represents in the fight against fracking?
I think that Hess and Newfield leaving and calling it, very absolutely anybody who asks, they call it a business decision. They do not want it to be understood as a regulatory win, as a grassroots win, because they don't want anyone else to be inspired. But it is truly inspiring, because this is what we have won.
Barbara Arundel is Director of Damascus Citizens for Sustainability.